Learn Persian with Chai and Conversation, Hafez's Ey Berendan Makon, Part 2. Salam be hamigi, and welcome to part 2 of our discussion about Hafez's beautiful poem, Ey Berendan Makon. So in the first episode, we were joined by Muhammad Ali of Persian Poetics, and we went over the overall message of the poem and got a good understanding of it as a whole, what different words and phrases might mean and their significance in the context of the poem. He read the poem in Persian, and I repeated an English translation. But as we said in the last episode, the English translation of these poems are woefully lacking. It is impossible to fully translate anything. And with poetry, where language needs to be so targeted and so precise, it's nearly impossible. You can get a good overall idea of the meaning of something through a translation, but to truly understand it, to understand the nuance and the depth, you really have to understand the original language. So with that in mind, in these subsequent episodes, I'm going to go over the poem again, word by word, phrase by phrase. As we said in the last episode, the beauty of Hafez's poetry is that even though it was written centuries ago, we can still clearly understand it. So these words are relevant in our conversation today. So by the end of this series, not only will you understand this poem intimately, but you'll also understand these words and phrases intimately as well, and learn how to use them in everyday conversation. So I wanted to start this lesson by having us listen to my Aunt Farnaz recite the entire poem. Farnaz has a beautiful voice for reciting poetry, so in each of these subsequent poetry lessons, we use her recitation as a reference. I want you to listen to the poem, maybe with your eyes closed, and let the words just wash over you. You're all at different stages of learning the Persian language. Some of you are complete beginners to learning the language, and others are more advanced. So some of you might not understand a word in the poem yet, while others might find some of the words familiar. But don't let it bother you. As we continue our study, it will feel as if something very fuzzy starts to come in focus, and I love it when that happens. So without any further ado, let's listen to my Aunt Farnaz recite our selection of the poem, Ey Berendan Makon by Hafez.
ای برندان مکن ای زاهد پاکیزه سرشت که گناه دگران بر تو نخواهند نوشت من اگر نیکم و گر بد تو برو خود را باش هر کسی آن درود عاقبت کار که کشت همه کس طالب یارند چه هوشیار و چه مست همه جا خانه عشق است چه مسجد چه کنشت نه من از پرده تقوا به در افتادم و بس پدرم نیز بهشت ابد از دست بهشت حافظا روز اجل گر به کفاری جامی یک سر از کوی خرابات برندت به بهشت.
So we're going to be taking these lessons very nice and slowly, just learning two lines at a time. Today we're going to focus on these first two lines. So let's listen to my aunt recite them again.
ای برندان مکن ای زاهد پاکیزه سرشت که گناه دگران بر تو نخواهند نوشت.
Okay, so I want to start this entire discussion with a conversation about the word rend. This is quite a fascinating word. In fact, I recorded a poetry episode with Alan Eyre, former Persian language spokesperson in the States Department in the U.S., and the word rend was featured in that poem as well. He sent me a 6-page PDF titled Semantic Evolution of Rogue Rend in Mystical Persian, and it chronicles this word and its many uses in mystical poetry, such as the one we're reading today. The article starts out by saying, a correct understanding of the meaning of rend is key to better insight into the mystic poems. This is quite a statement, but I really love this idea, that this one word can be a key into mystical poetry. So we're going to focus on it for a bit. I think it's also a really good illustration of the shortcomings of translations. In the translation of the poem, Muhammad Ali of Persian Poetics uses profligates as a translation of rend. Now, I didn't even know what profligates was before, but apparently it means a licentious and dissolute person. But to me, when I hear the word rend, I think of someone naughty or mischievous, like a scoundrel or a rascal. But you could also use words like drunkard, lustful, libertine, reckless, abject, or evil person. So you see, there's not a precise definition, and we need 6 pages to chronicle its uses, and also its deeper meaning and the evolution of the word. So I'll link to the article, but as we come to understand the poem, even this one word, rend, might become more clear for you and take on a greater meaning. So again, the poem says, Eibe rendon makon. So a rend, in this case, again, is a wrongdoer. And all those other negative things I listed, a debaucherous, intoxicated, light-minded, and unruly person. Let's repeat that word together, rend. So in these lessons, whenever I say a word, I want you to repeat it out loud after me. That's the best way you're going to learn these words and phrases by heart and eventually commit the poem to memory. So, rend. Rendon makes the word plural. So in Persian, when we're talking about people, we make them plural by adding that sound on to the end of the word. For example, kudak is the word for youth. So if you're talking about many youth, like a bunch of children, you say kudakon. Let's repeat these. Kudak. Kudakon. Great. Or if you want to say mard, that's man, mard. And then men would be mardon. So similarly, back to the word in our poem, rend. And rendon. So, eibe rendon makon. Eibe is the word for fault. Eibe. So, this is when you have something wrong with you, something wrong or at fault. Eibe. And the e sound, eibe sound, is something we call an ezafe, which works to link these two words together, kind of like an apostrophe or the word of. Like, eibe rendon means the fault of a wrongdoer. So the abe, the fault, belongs to the rendon, the wrongdoers. Abe rendon. And then it says makon. So this is a command and it means do not do. Makon. Now in current conversation, this is actually with a ne sound. Nakon. So that's what you'll hear in present conversation, whereas in this poem, it's the me sound. Makon. Great. So, eibe rendon makon means do not fault the wrongdoers, or do not scold them, or do not find fault with them. Eibe rendon makon. And like I said, it's a command, and it's in the second person informal. So, the poet is speaking directly to you, the reader, saying, you, don't find fault with that scoundrel over there. Eibe rendon makon. And then, a zahide pakize zerisht. Okay, so in this part, again, the poet is directly addressing the reader. He's saying a, which means hey, a. And then zahid means an ascetic or a kind of religious Puritan. Zahid. Pakize is the word for clean or pure. Pakize. It could also mean clean and tidy. Pakize. And zerisht means born of or by nature. Zerisht. So zahide pakize zerisht means something along the lines of a pure-natured ascetic. So someone who is just pure by nature. Let's repeat that together. Zahide pakize zerisht. And as you can see, after that first word, zahid, we have the e sound again, or the ezafe I mentioned earlier. We have this a lot in the Persian language, and here it's just used as a describing word. It's saying the word zahid is the subject, and pakize zerisht is the way to describe that subject. So zahid, again, an ascetic, a type of religious person, and pakize zerisht, pure by nature. We have a whole lesson in our speak program about the concept of ezafe. It's lesson 26 of our speak program, so I'd highly recommend checking that out. I won't go too deep into ezafe here, but that is the general concept. So again, let's repeat this together. Zahede pakize zirisht. So the whole first line goes, Eibe rendan makon, e zahede pakize zirisht. So first he's giving a command. He's saying, Eibe rendan makon, don't fault the wrongdoers. And then he's addressing the reader directly. E zahede pakize zirisht, you who is so pure-hearted by nature. And this is one of those examples, to quote Shakespeare, of methinks the lady doth protest too much. In this case, I feel like Hafiz is being a little facetious here. He's laying on the compliments a little too strongly for it to be genuine, I think. So, hey you, don't fault the wrongdoer, you who is so pure-hearted and good and wonderful by nature. So that's my interpretation of it. And now the full first line. I'll say it and you repeat it after me. Eibe rendan makon. E zahede pakize zirisht. Eibe rendan makon. E zahede pakize zirisht. Great. And now the second line, which is Ke gunah digaran bar to nakhahand nevisht. So there are a few words in here that play off the same concepts we learned in the first line. Let's start with the word digaron. So do you recognize that on sound again? We had it in rendon. That means the word is plural. So digar means an other. So someone besides yourself. Digar. And digaron means others. Digaron. And gonah is the word for wrongdoing, but more accurately, it's a sin, gonah. So we have abe, which again is something, a wrongdoing or a fault, and then gonah, which takes on a little bit more of a religious connotation. It's more of a sin, gonah. And again, we have that ezafe sound, gonahe degaran, linking the two words together. So with the ezafe, that becomes the sins of others. Gonahe degaran. And then bar to. So to is the word for you, informal. To. And bar means on. Bar. Ke gonahe degaran bar to. Ke in this context means for. Ke. The full thing, ke gonahe degaran bar to, means for the sins of others on you. This will make more sense as we learn the rest of the phrase, which is nachohand nevisht. Nachohand means they will not. Nachohand. So in Persian, the subject is contained within the verb. You can tell what the subject is based on the conjugation of the verb. In this case, nachohand is the third person conjugation for will not. So they will not. Nachohand. And nevisht is right. Nevisht. Nachohand nevisht means they will not write. Nachohand nevisht. So the full thing again is Ke gonahe digaran bar to nachohand nevisht. So for the sins of others onto you, they will not write. So the sins of others will not be written on you. They will not be attributed to you. It reminds me of a kind of imagery of Judgment Day. When the scroll comes out showing all of your sins, other sins will not show up on your scroll. So let's repeat the full thing together piece by piece. Ke gonahe degaran bar to nakhahand nevisht. And now the full thing. I'll say it and I want you to repeat it after me. Ke gonahe degaran bar to nakhahand nevisht. All right, wonderful. Now let's go back and listen to my Aunt Farnaz recite the whole first two lines.
ای برندان مکن ای زاهد پاکیزه سرشت که گناه دیگران بر تو نخواهند نوشت.
All right, and hopefully this time you understood the full thing. So this is all we're going to learn in this lesson. This week, I want you to really practice these first two lines, practice reciting them to yourself, practice writing them over and over again in English phonetic if you need to, or in Persian script if you're able to. Leave it around the house, on your mirror, on your fridge, wherever you need to in order to get maximum exposure to these lines and really get them into your system. And as always, check out the lesson page to hear each of these words individually and to use the exercises on there to test your recollection of the words and phrases. And that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and see you all next week for part 3.